Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's been a remarkable display of just overcoming adversity by the Carolina Panthers.
The slogan is keep pounding in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's been the credo. I believe it started when one of their former players, Sam Mills, had cancer, and they still employ that. The year they went to the Super Bowl in 15, they started with a bad September, but after two losses, they've reeled off four in a row, and the headmaster, Ron Rivera, the former Chicago Bears player and defensive coordinator, joins us right now on the Score. Hello, Chico. How are you?
I'm doing good, Danny. How are you?
Outstanding. Welcome back to the mainland. Other than the ball game, did you do anything fun while you were in London?
When? No.
Yeah.
We had a good time. We really did. You know, my family came out as well, and it really worked well for us. You know, one of the things that we did was we changed our entire work schedule. You know, we brought the players in early on Tuesday of the week, and we started a normal practice session on Tuesday. We went through a normal session on Wednesday, traveled Wednesday night, got there Thursday, you know, did all our obligations, took care of business, had what we call a recovery day where we bring in 20 sports massage therapists, got the guys' legs worked, their backs taken care of, shoulders, all that stuff. And then we came out and had normal Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, it really worked well for us. We had plenty of time to do the things that we wanted in terms of sightseeing. And the guys really seemed to come in and play relaxed. And just they played well, and I was real, real pleased with their effort.
That's interesting. There was a lot of discussion here in town a week ago yesterday because the Bears were just there, and they decided not to go out until Thursday evening, which is fairly standard. A lot of teams do it that way. After your experience, I'm guessing you'd never do it differently again after the result.
Right. Well, what happened was we talked to a lot of different teams that had done it and kind of got their feel. And it was funny because we found that the teams that went later in the week, it was 50-50. But the teams that seemed to go earlier usually played much better. They said they felt more fresh. And the only other team that did it exactly the way we did was Seattle, and Seattle won. So we just kind of looked at that and said, you know what? That's the thing I want, and the reason I want to do it that way is I want as normal a Friday as possible.
Do you think a team could work over there full time?
I don't know if they could do it full time. I really don't. And I've heard where people have talked about the team that goes there is going to be the team that's going to split. You know, that going four home games there and four games at the headquarters of the United States might be the way to do it. I don't know, The novelty of what the game is, I think, is what really attracts the British sports fan, because you're not going to be able to get 60 or 70,000 NFL fans flying over from the United States to UK. You're going to get a good contingency, but you're going to rely on the local sports fan. And right now, you know, you think about it, soccer, rugby, cricket, football, American football. I mean, that's kind of the order, I think. And we're trying to make a dent into that. That's why I think we invested in that stadium in Tottenham, which was an unbelievable stadium, guys. It was fabulous. It was a terrific football surface. Our players really liked it. The facility was first rate. It really was a good football stadium.
There are several things I really love about the way your team's gone about its business recently, Ron. Christian McCaffrey's on a different planet than most guys who play the position. I love the way you're taking the ball away from the opponent. That's just how you win in this league. And what Norv Turner did with the running game, even though it wasn't working the other day, I wish I saw more of that in our guy here, Matt Nagy. 22 carries for 31 yards. To me, that's the stat of the day. Stay committed to it. Shorten the game for a young quarterback and let your defense catch its breath.
Well, the biggest thing and thing about sticking with the run really is again, they kept committing 8-9 guys to the box. And when you do that, you open up those intermediate passing lanes. Hard play action. Greg Olsen had a big day. DJ Moore had a big day, and Curtis Samuels just played out of his mind. I mean, when you're able to distribute the ball throughout all those guys, you have to continue to stick to the run. At least that's the philosophy that we had. And you know, and it's funny because I got asked the question off to the side. Well, you know, you ran the ball so ineffectively, and I said, really? I thought our passing game was excellent. Yeah, your passing game was excellent. Well, how many of those completions were off of play action? See, that's the thing that people forget. If you're not trying to make to run the football, your play action doesn't exist anymore, and we're trying to be balanced. And I love Norv's approach. You know, I was fortunate enough to have worked for him in San Diego and watch what he does, and I see it, and he's so true to what he does and what he believes. I have no problem with that.
So what has happened? Because it seems like we were trending in a direction for every passing record to be broken, more passes than ever, more spread out than ever. And now some of those offenses that were most associated with high volume passing and spreading the ball out are getting grounded a bit. What are you guys, the defensive people, what are you learning?
Well, you're really learning about the combinations more so than anything else. You know, and the other thing, too, is a lot of this stuff is coming from college football, and everybody just wants to emulate what they're doing at Clemson and what they're doing at Alabama, and they're doing it, you know, these big powers. Well, the problem is in college football, the big powers dominate the recruiting. In the NFL, the recruiting is non-existent because it's all about draft picks and free agency. Okay, so at the end of the day, your athletes – on offense can beat the athletes on defense in college football most of the time. Well, you can't do it in the NFL. You're talking about high quality athletes, 53 of them on each squad. So you're not lining up against, you know, against a guy that was not a blue chipper. You're lining up against blue chippers. And so I think that's part of the thing that's happened is that balance has come out. We on the defensive side, we understand, you know, how these guys have to attack us. So we're trying to attack the way they want to attack you. And so I think because of the players in the league are balanced out and just, you know, the philosophies on the offense, on the defensive side is different from what those, you know, what is being seen in college, that you really can't take the college game and try and plug it into the NFL game.
Carolina Panthers head coach Ron Rivera, the former Bear, he'll always have a little bear in him, is with us on the Score Sports Radio 670. Ron, the Bears announced today Akeem Hicks is on IR at least until week 15, maybe 16. You lost a great interior lineman recently in Kay Short. You're surviving. That's, you know, Hub was just on with us, and we all like the depth, but when you lose a player of those players' magnitude, that's going to tax your ass over 16 weeks.
It is, you know, but we're very fortunate right now. Vernon Butler has stepped his game up. I mean, he's a guy that was a first-round pick. We've been waiting for him to come, and, you know, he's given us some good snaps, but he's playing very consistent right now. He has kind of filled that void for us, you know, and that's been huge on the defensive line. You know, and we've had some guys around that have stepped up. You know, Dontari Poe has really, really played very well. Kyle Love is getting his opportunity to play more. F.A. Obada, I mean, we've got a group of defensive linemen that we've just been able to plug in, and they've kept it up. And so, you know, the biggest one, though, has been Gerald McCoy, you know, the longtime Buccaneer who we brought in over his free agency has stepped up. He's assumed a leadership role. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, the money we spent on a guy like Gerald is paying dividends as well now.
Hey, Chico, 30 years ago this NFL season, at Lambeau Field, I stood across from you at your locker, put a microphone in your face, and asked you to comment on the replay review of Packers quarterback Don Majkowski when he completed a big play across the line. And I had to spend a lot of time doctoring that audio the next day to make it arable because you were more upset than I'd ever seen you. I don't think I've seen you that upset since. Here we are, 30 years later. Yep. We are still bitching and moaning. And after last night, I don't know how they can't get together this week. You know, we're told there's other issues at the owners' meeting. Yep. But this is ridiculous.
Well, you know, the biggest thing that we have to do is we have to make sure we get it right as far as that's concerned, because it is ridiculous. It's unfortunate because it's, you know, we have such a great game, and the last thing we want is people questioning our integrity. And so we do have a responsibility of whatever's broke, whatever's not being done correct has to be corrected, because, again, you know, the fans want to come and watch the game, and at the end of the day, you don't want them walking away going, oh, man, we got robbed, or, man, you know, somebody cheated on that. You just don't want that, and that's the thing that we have to be very aware of.
When it comes to pass interference being reviewable, that was a unanimous vote this offseason, 32-32. If that vote was taken tomorrow to keep this as a rule, how would you vote?
Well, you know what? It all depends on how they're going to tell us how it is. I mean, the way we voted, you know, we were looking at making sure we correct the egregious. Probably the most difficult thing we have right now is, what is the definition of egregious? Clear and obvious. What is that definition? And once, you know, once that standard is set, we've got to play by it. I mean, I'd vote for it, you know, because again, I'd like to believe I understand what clear and obvious and what egregious is. So at the end of the day, that's what really has to happen, is we've got to make sure everybody understands what the standard is. It's like when we cleared up, you know, the catch, no catch. I mean, that seemed to be the biggest sticking point we had for 2-3 years, and it took 2-3 years before we got it right. So now we have a catch standard, I think, that everybody understands much more so than we did previously. So this may take a little bit of tweaking and fixing, and people are going to get a little upset and not happy with it. But until, you know, we continue to work it and massage it, we're not going to get it right until it obviously becomes right.
And that makes perfect sense. And you're absolutely right about catch, no catch. What's interesting, what's happening now, though, like for this season, is that only one pass interference has been overturned since week 3. So are you comfortable throwing the challenge flag on a pass interference this year?
I will. If I think it needs to be reviewed, I'm going to throw it. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. I mean, if I think it's egregious, it's clear and obvious, I'm going to throw it. I mean, it's in the rules. So at the end of the day, I'm just going to rely on what I believe, what I think. I mean, I was fortunate enough to play this game for 9 years, coach it for 24. So, you know, I've got 33 years of NFL experience, and I'm going to rely on what I know. And if I believe it, I'm going to throw it.
I thought last night, I understand Matt Patricia not wanting to throw it when Jones Jr. got mauled before the ball got there because of what Parkins just said, just one of them overturned in 3 or 4 weeks. But God, Monday Night Football, what a perfect opportunity to put on stage how they're not getting this right. I wish he would have taken one for 31 other NFL head coaches and fans of the league and gone ahead and thrown it. Would you have thrown it in that scenario?
Well, again, I it looked like it was to me, and so if that's how I felt, I would have thrown it. If I felt that way, that's what I'd do. I mean, I'm just telling you what I would do or what I would have done in those situations. You know, coach did what he thought was best for his team at the time.
Another thing I'm fascinated to get NFL head coaches' opinions on here is the blending of how we've always done strategy and what your analytics department is telling you, going for it on fourth down, going for two. I still don't think there's any coach, frankly, that's doing it enough and more aggressive in that vein. How do you balance what maybe the math says you should do and what your gut is telling you on the sideline?
Well, it's funny because that was one of the things that back in the 2013 season that I had a better feel for. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that I sat down with John Madden and we talked about, you know, those types of things. And he told me, he said, Ron, you've coached enough football, you've played enough football, rely on your experience. And that's what I've been doing for the last 7 seasons. And it's funny because last year, before we got heavily into the analytics, they went back and reviewed all of my decisions. And according to the analytics, only one time did I not do what I was supposed to do. So again, it you know, if I think it was like I had 23 decisions and 22 out of the 23, you know, the analytics agreed with what I decided, which is awful nice of them. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I really don't know if I need somebody that's telling me, well, you know, we've studied this and for the last, you know, 20 years, this is what we're, you know, what you should have done. I don't know if I really need somebody to tell me what to do because I've played enough. I understand enough. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm the one who has to make the decision and I have to live with it. You know, I made a decision last year to go for it on fourth down. We didn't get it. And at the end of the day, I could have kicked a field goal. We lost by 3 points. And the analytics guy told me, well, coach, you did the right thing. And I thought to myself, how the hell can you say I did the right thing? We lost by 3 freaking points. If I kicked the field goal, we may have gone into overtime. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so to sit there and say, well, you made the right decision. No, I struggle with it. I really did struggle with him telling me that. I mean, it really kind of pissed me off.
Rodney, you got to give us some credit. We're 14 minutes into this thing, and we haven't asked you what you're going to do once Cam's ready to go yet.
Well, I'll have to wait until we get to that point before I decide what I'm going to do. I mean, at the end of the day, I tell everybody, guys, I'm living in the now. Right now, we're living in the now. What I can't do is I can't make any prediction as to when, where, why, or how. So until I am faced with that decision, I'm going to live in the now.
What has impressed you the most about the kid, other than his 0 interceptions in 4 starts and 4 wins?
Is his aloofness. I mean, nothing seems to faze the kid. I mean, it's hilarious. The first time he went into a game, we were playing Atlanta last year. He went in, and we start moving the ball with him because Taylor Heinicke gets hurt. So the kid goes in, and he has this series. And every time we'd run a play, he'd turn around and look at the sideline and start walking to the sideline. And then all of a sudden, he'd turn around and walk back. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, he still thinks he's in freaking college. He's walking to get the signals from the coach, and the coach is sitting there talking to him on the mic. So we kick a field goal. He comes to the sideline, and I say, hey, Kyle, you don't have to come walking to the sideline, dude. We'll talk to you in the mic. He goes, oh, okay, cool. And he walked away, and it was okay. Here we go. But that's kind of him. I mean, he's one of those guys that things don't seem to faze him. He's got a lot of confidence in his ability. He's got a good arm. He can make all the throws. He's got touch. He's got a gun. So, you know, I think he's got a lot of confidence, and he reminds me of those confident quarterbacks that have a good arm.
You're obviously plugged into the league, and then the Bears got a team in your division that many think is the best in the NFC. Can you give us a scouting report on this Saints team?
You know, the thing that they really have is they have playmakers that do make plays, and that's really the thing that they've been able to rely on. You know, they're missing, you know, their trigger man, who I think is really one of the, you know, really good. He's a future Hall of Famer. Sean Payton's a terrific game planner. And right now, offensively, Teddy Bridgewater has come in and been very consistent. He's managed the games. He's made plays when he's needed to. But defensively, they've taken their game to another level as well. And Cameron Jordan, you know, I can't speak enough of him. I mean, he is a Cal guy, a Golden Bear. You know, I'm a fan of his, but he's really playing really well right now. And his teammates are feeding off of his energy on the defensive side.
Ryan, great to catch up. Congrats on the 4 straight wins. Have a great bye week. Take Coach Stephanie out for a nice meal, will you?
Oh, without a doubt. Are you kidding? That goes without saying.
Buddy, take it easy, man. Thanks.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.